This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Jesse Kelly Show, let's have some fun on a Friday. Put a smile on your face. We are at the end of what has been a magnificent week, and now we have Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and we are going to have so much fun tonight. No guests, no calls, but we have emails, we have voicemails, we have sound. You're making fun of me for my hands. We're going to talk about, well, what can we expect? What's realistic? What's not realistic for the next 4 years? We'll get to that pretty quickly. Do I regret losing my congressional races? Did we turn the tide with this election? We'll talk about that. Let's have some frank conversations. AG, someone wants Ron DeSantis in there. Should blue states block any deportation? What can we do about that? All that, so much more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. But I'm going to begin here with a story I have told before. Longtime listeners will have heard me tell this story a couple times. But something happened today, and my email inbox is full of people raging about it. And so I thought I should go ahead and just lay out a little story. Let's go behind the scenes. Let's not do the surface level stupid stuff that everyone does. And let's dig in to the real game, how power works. Let's talk about it. Today, Josh Hawley came out. Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri, who I like very much, came out. And he angered apparently every single person who listens to my show. He came out and supported John Cornyn for the leader of the Senate. John Cornyn, Texas Senator John Cornyn, gun control Cornyn, loser Cornyn, continuation of Mitch McConnell Cornyn, if not worse. People hate Cornyn, understandably so, and justifiably so. People like Hawley. For the most part, people like Hawley. Hawley comes from blood red Missouri now. Hawley's usually pretty good about blasting away at the left. Not perfect, of course, none of them are, but people woke up today, saw this news, and they were stunned. My email inbox is full of people raging at Josh Hawley. Because people now, especially you who listens to this show, people understand that our next big fight that is hugely important is the race to who is going to lead the GOP in the Senate. That's the race they're in right now. That's the next fight. Before Trump gets sworn in, before any of that, that's the next fight, and it's coming very soon. And we know that, frankly, the good guys, we're in a desperate situation. There are three people running. Cornyn, Thune, and Rick Scott. Those are the only three running. The people who listen to this show, you understand that Rick Scott, far from perfect, is really the only pick that is not a disaster. If it is John Cornyn or John Thune, it's horrible. Why is it horrible? Again, let's recap this. It's horrible because they will be, quote, bipartisan. They'll do Democrat things. They'll water down good bills because they're the ultimate swamp rats. They will make life very, very difficult for anybody we're trying to get confirmed. If it's Cornyn or it's Thune, it's a disaster, a total disaster. And right now, that's how it looks. It looks like it will be Cornyn or Thune. Which John Thune? This John Thune.
If Donald Trump is the Republican nominee, would you support him?
Well, I'm hoping Leanne to have other options. And
verdict in the Trump trial could come next week if he's convicted. Could you support him still?
I'm not. We'll see how the trial comes out. I'm not weighing in on that.
Senator John Thune, the number two Senate Republican, warned on Monday that efforts to challenge the Electoral College vote in Congress next.
Yeah, that John Thune. And so today everyone's angry at Josh Hawley. And we're going to do a little story. I'm going to make it very brief because I've told it before, but it's a true story and it shows you how politics goes. Okay? Why would Josh Hawley do this? Long time ago, 08, 09, I was freshly out of the Marine Corps. I was working construction, going to community college, fully accredited, I should note. And I got very, very angry about the election of Barack Obama. I knew what it was going to mean for my country. I love my country. I'd never been hugely political. I'd never run for office. I'd never done any of these things. I was just a construction guy and a Marine. And that's how my life had been. Decided to run for U.S. Congress. I throw myself in the race in a Republican primary. I was in very early. I was running hard. And I know you're going to find this surprising, but I was about as far to the right as you could possibly go. I was the same way back then as I am now. There's no difference. I'm just balder and grayer now. I was the same way. Complete lunatic. That's how I was back then, too. I believe what I believe. I believe it strongly, and I shout it loudly. And my race was going very well. And then eventually the establishment throws in a GOP. The race starts to look more winnable because it was going to be a Tea Party year. So the GOP establishment, they throw in some popular guy from the state legislature to run against me in the primary. Good dude. He's a really good dude, I should note. Good dude. I was just texting with him the other day, so we're friends. So don't go look him up and blast him. I like him a lot. But he was more middle of the road than I was. And they threw all the money behind him, and I crushed him. Blew him out in the primary. I won the primary by like 7 points. Just murdered him. It was going to be a year for someone like me anyway, a far right guy. Well, the establishment was so angry that I had crushed their guy, they denied me any kind of GOP funding for the general election for weeks, 3 weeks after I won the primary. Well, without that kind of a money, especially as a newbie, you're not going to have enough money to compete with Democrat money. Gabrielle Giffords, she was my opponent. She was on TV just crucifying me. That 3 weeks was the reason I lost the election. I lost by 4,000 votes. I wasn't even on television. She just killed me in that 3 weeks. So we're desperate. We're desperate. And I mean desperate. We need to raise money. No one's helping. Where is everybody? And in comes a man who hated me and I hated him, John McCain. I had endorsed his primary opponent against him. I know, I was insane. I was the same way back then as now. I just don't care. But he hated me. He knew about that. He hated me, and I hated him. We ended up having a meeting in his office in D.C. I'd heard he wanted to see me. I just figured we were going to yell at each other. But he asked me some questions. He got to know the Marine side of me, and he was in there cussing like the old sailor he was. And personally, he decided during that meeting I like this freaking guy. He's a little insane and he's far to the right, but I like this guy. And he puts out the bat signal. Hey, we're going to help him. And he, John McCain, turned on the light switch of money, and money flooded into my campaign. Flooded. And we would go to the post office every day. There'd just be huge checks from people I'd never talked to before. I didn't even know this world existed. And all of a sudden, we have money for TV commercials, and we're on TV, and we come all the way back, and we almost win. Like I said, they had to recount the vote. It took them a week to recount it because the vote was so close. Almost won. I was almost in Congress. Could you imagine, right? I was almost in Congress. Now, let me ask you, what if I'd won? And what if, instead of being in the Senate, let's say John McCain was a very powerful person in the House of Representatives. What if I had won that race? And I come back to Washington, D.C., and one of the first things that happens to me, I'm moving my boxes and my fresh ice maker into my congressional office, and one of the first things that happen is knock on my congressional door, and it's John McCain, and he says, hey, Jesse, congratulations on the win. That's huge. Hey, I'm not going to ask you to vote for things that you don't want to vote for, but I have this leadership fight coming up. I would like to be the Speaker of the House, and I want to know if I can count on your vote to make me Speaker of the House. Now, I know what you're saying. The little thing inside of you is saying the same thing the little thing inside of me is saying. No, you can't. You have to do the right thing. I agree. That's what we want to happen. But here in the real world, how do you say no to that? If you're sitting there and he's not asking you to screw the people over on a vote or something, because the answer would always be no to that no matter what. He's not asking you to raise taxes or open the border or do anything like that. He's asking for your support for a leadership position. And you know, as you sit there beyond a shadow of a doubt, you wouldn't be sitting there without his help. You don't have to email me. You don't have to. You can just ask yourself, how could you say no? Could you say no? Why? How could Josh Hawley support John Cornyn? You're going to ask that question of a lot of people in the coming days. And when we come back, I'll show you how. Hang on.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and I will get to those Ask Dr. Jesse questions in a minute. We'll make fun of the Democrats as they are scrambling in the wake of this disastrous election for them. In fact, they're even being asked about their rhetoric versus reality. Oh, it is so good. There's so much to get to, but just to finish up my point, Josh Hawley made apparently every single person who listens to my show angry today by endorsing for Senate leader the worthless piece of human trash, John Cornyn. And people are asking why? Jesse, I like Hawley. What happened? Why? I just told you my story about donations made to me back in the day. Josh Hawley just won re-election on Tuesday night. Handily. I love Missouri. Missouri's so freaking red now. It's like the reddest state in the union. I don't know how that happened, but it's amazing. So he won handily, but Jewish producer Chris did a little bit of digging for me on my request. Would you look at that? I found the largest contributor to Josh Hawley's campaign. Whoa! $623,000. Dang, that's a lot. Hold on, let me see. Who? Oh, John Cornyn. That is how it works. And that's exactly why I should note, because I've had people email in since I've been ranting about this, because it does matter. I've had people email in, Jesse, I don't understand why Rick Scott is so behind, because he is behind. He's not expected to win. In fact, he's probably going to come in third. Jesse, why is Rick Scott not in first? He's the better one. Jesse, why is Rick Scott? Because John Cornyn and John Thune This is the problem with GOP leadership in the House and Senate, and this is a problem that's going to take a long time to tackle. The swampier you are, and what do I mean by swampier? Okay, let's stop using terms like that. Let's break this down in ways we can all understand. If I walk into Washington, D.C., and I'm Congressman Jesse Kelly, let's say I had won the race, and I have dreams of being in GOP leadership. Maybe I want to have a head of the judiciary or ways and means, or maybe even Speaker of the House. We'll make it Speaker of the House, the big boy. I want to be Speaker of the House one day. I'm new Congressman Kelly. How do I get from A to B? How do I get from freshman congressman to one day being Speaker of the House? Well, to be Speaker of the House, I need the votes of the other people in my conference. I realize the whole Congress votes on it, but really, what do I need? I need Republican votes. Well, I have Republicans of every stripe all around me. Far, far righties like me, squishy losers like Don Bacon. I have people all around me. How do I gather up all these votes? Do I bring them extra cheese balls? Maybe a cup of fresh ice? That's not how you gather votes. You gather these votes by helping your fellow Republicans keep power. Because once you get into power, you want to stay in power. That is human nature. Well, how do they keep power? They keep power by winning re-election. How do you win re-election? You raise money. I give them money. I raise them money. Okay, well, how does that explain becoming swampy? Well, go look at the large contributors to political campaigns. If I'm new Congressman Jesse Kelly wanting to be Speaker of the House one day, and let's say a huge defense contractor who walks in, a defense contractor, by the way, I should note, who wants the continuation of this disastrous war in Ukraine to go on forever. If he walks into my office and says, hey, Jesse, I really, really, really need you to send another $100 billion to Ukraine. I have a lot of missiles. The government's buying them from me. It's hugely lucrative to me. I need you to agree. I need you to sign on as a yes on this new bill, $100 billion to Ukraine. And I say back to him, why would I do that? I don't like this whole thing. And he says, well, there is the matter of the $1 million we can put in your congressional PAC, $1 million you can spread around to other people who need those favors, who will remember those favors. That's how it works. Look, why are Republicans, some of them, so squishy on the border? Exact same thing. Hey, Jesse, we want you to vote on some amnesty. I don't want to vote on any amnesty. I don't believe in amnesty for anybody, really. Yeah, I know. But you see, we have a bunch of guys who own hotels and various retail places, and they bank on this illegal labor, keeping the costs down. And they've contributed a bunch of money to us, and we want to pass that along. How about another $10 million for your congressional campaign if you sign on for amnesty? How's that sound, Jesse? You see what I mean? The swampier you get, the more money you take in, right? It's not always the case, but it's mostly the case. The swampier you get, the easier it is to bring in money. In general, there are two ways, as a senator or a House member, there are two ways to become somebody who raises a bunch of money. You either A, become a complete swamp rat like I just described, or B, you have to become some sort of a media star in the conservative sphere. Think about like a Michelle Bachmann. Remember Michelle Bachmann back in the day? She was this cute congresswoman from Minnesota, always throwing bombs out there, got super popular, and you could raise a lot of money online like that. That's the only other way. If you don't do one of those two things, you never raise money, you don't get to spread money, you don't gain power, you don't get into leadership. That's how it works. I know that's not how you want it to work. It's not how I want it to work, but that's how it works. All right? All right. Let's move on to some questions, shall we? Mr. Patriotic Prophet, I just wanted to thank you for getting me on a chalk regimen last month. I've been chugging such a massive volume of liberal tears since the MAGA mandate that I would probably have overdosed on estrogen if it wasn't for the massive testosterone boost. In all seriousness, thanks for the great advice on maximizing my manliness and on navigating our crazy political landscape. I'm telling you, man. You don't need to take my word for it on chalk. I don't want you to. In fact, I'm going to ask you something. If you get a Chalk subscription, I want you to promise me you will cancel your subscription after 3 months if you don't feel better. I'm asking you to cancel it. That's how amazing this stuff is. I could read emails for 3 hours of people thanking me. When you start a male vitality stack or a female vitality stack, your energy alone will have you knowing it's worth it. You will know. Probably in less than 3 months. It was about a month for me, and I knew. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back. It is the Jesse Kelly Show, playing all of Chris's favorite songs here on a Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and reminding you, you can email the show jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I'm in such a freaking good mood. Nothing can bring me down right now. I'm in just a great mood. In fact, you want to feel better? Before we get to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions, I swear I'm going to get to them in a minute. Watching Democrats try to put things together here is hilarious to me, because there is a war right now going on within the Democrat Party. And I think I know who's going to win, but I don't know for sure. The war is between those, and there are some, believe it or not, Pelosi's actually one of these ones. The war is between those who know they've gotten way too loony, way too ridiculous. It's turned so many people off. You can't win as a Democrat nationally if you're losing half the union workers. It doesn't work. It does not work at all. The Pelosi types know that. That's a good point, Chris. Nancy Pelosi was the one trying to stop Trump's impeachment because she knew how it would make them look. So those types, they're trying to slow down the communist menace. The problem is sometimes it just comes down to age, and we don't like discussing this, but age matters, meaning the older Democrats like Pelosi understand what it takes to keep the coalition together. But the younger ones, the ones who will still be alive in 20 years, they are rabidly communist, and they don't have any intention at moderating at all. And to watch them twist themselves into knots about what to do, what shouldn't they do. Listen to this. Corinne Diversity Hire got asked this.
Donald Trump has no greater friend than the far left, which has managed to alienate historic numbers of Latinos, Blacks, Asians, and Jews from the Democratic Party with absurdities like defund the police or from the river to the sea or Latinx. Is the administration, campaign, the Democratic Party looking at the pandemic as the cause rather than, is that easier than looking in the mirror?
Let's step back here. I think I've been in the president and the vice president.
You heard the question. Even the reporters are asking, hey, you're defund the police? That sounds great on Berkeley's campus. You're going to get a lot of cheers for that at some cocktail party in Napa Valley with all your rich communist friends who are never going to encounter that crime. That sounds great. But when you go into poor neighborhoods, blue-collar neighborhoods, you know what defund the police sounds like? You sound like a nutball. What are you going to do about it? Okay, so there's that end of it. Some of them know. How are you going to stop? And then there's the other side of it that is just amazing to me. This is Van Jones on CNN. These people, they can't hear how much they sound like every communist who has ever lived. Every single communist in power who has ever been in power has answered his unpopularity with controlling the media, controlling the narrative, control, more control, more censorship. I'm unpopular because they're allowed to say this and they're allowed to say that. This was Van Jones on CNN.
There are legal protections that allow these companies to do what they want to and do what they will. I think in a normal country, we would say, hold on a second, maybe we need to have a different set of regulations for social media platforms now they're this big. Maybe we need to have less money in the system. Mm-hmm. But that conversation is not happening yet.
Why social media? Why are they so upset with that? Well, why do you know the truth about so many different things. How many stories could I go through right now? The Russian collusion to George Floyd, to the COVID stuff, let's modernize it. The election we just had, did Donald Trump threaten Liz Cheney or any of those things? How many stories do you know the truth of solely because you have the freedom to seek out alternate sources of information? Well, it's every story. Every single story. The only reason you know the truth is you go look. You go find it. You're on different media sites. You listen to the show. You're on social media. There's a bunch of different ways now for you to access information. They can't stand that. If the only way for you to access information was the traditional media sources, you would believe Donald Trump threatened to shoot Liz Cheney. Think about that. How crazy it is. And they can't stand it. They can't stand it. And then there's this. These people, they can't see how rabid they've become and how they are the ones so responsible for the crushing of their base.
Particularly the media ecosystem, it's not a good one. It's a negative one. It's a radicalization funnel. But what they have done in their online media ecosystem is build a radicalization engine, literally the way militant groups do around the world, that
literally
takes people from relatively low-level annoyances with the world. Why are eggs so expensive? Why is my kid learning this new thing in American history in school that I didn't learn? And then moves them through YouTube videos, through podcasts, moves them from that annoyance all the way slowly, slowly, slowly to a full-blown fascist politics. It's an elaborate multi-billion dollar infrastructure, and there is nothing like it on the pro-democracy side. We don't have an when a man is just lost and lonely and not yet radicalized, we don't have the equivalent of Joe Rogan and right. Jordan Peterson to move that man in a feminist direction.
We don't have the freedom to move the man in a feminist direction. Let's dwell on that for one. Again, I want to explain this to all the every normal person listening will know this, but to you communists who hate, listen. Everyone hates feminists, and they always will. If you are a feminist, everyone hates you, and they always will until you stop being a feminist. This is not me being mean. I'm delivering you the truth that you are a bitter, divisive person, and it comes out of you, and therefore you're very unpleasant to be around. And so nobody wants to be around you. Even other feminists hate hanging out with feminists. So you're not going to move people towards feminism. That's one. Two, to my larger point, we don't have a Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan has been a Democrat for as long as I've been alive. He supported Bernie Sanders. He was vocally anti-Trump for the longest time. The reason you, quote, don't have Joe Rogan anymore is you rabid animals couldn't stop yourself from your demonic impulses and you pushed him over into Donald Trump's camp. You're the reason you don't have Joe Rogan. But they can't see it. They can't see it. All right. I didn't think I was ever going to say this, but I possibly sexually harassed somebody by accident today, and I will explain exactly what I mean by that in a moment. Does this somebody need to purchase a Byrna pistol launcher? Probably. I just got this email. Jesse, I was at my family reunion, and my wife's Byrna pistol launcher LE edition arrived. I quickly tried to coax my cousins to let me shoot one of them so we could test it. I didn't get any takers. I finally handed it to one of them and said I would do it. Oh, no, don't. I don't even want to read the rest of this. At 45 feet, it proved to be accurate, striking me below my left shoulder blade. It put a hole in the vest I was wearing, and I attached a picture, of the wound it left. Tell your listeners they don't need to test it. I did. It will stop a threat. His name is Lyle. Please do not test the Byrna pistol launcher on yourself, please. The thing, it will hurt your clothes. It will hurt you badly. It will not kill you, by the grace of God, but it is designed to stop a threat. It's non-lethal. Pepper balls or tear gas balls or kinetic rounds, it will stop a very bad man so you can escape, and it's legal in all 50 states. You don't need a permit. You don't need a background check. save your life or the life of someone you love, get them a Byrna pistol launcher. They have great products for women. BYRNA, Byrna.com/Jesse. My harassment story next. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And yes, the questions are about to begin. I just have to tell you the story about me. I believe I inadvertently sexually harassed somebody today, and it wasn't what I wanted, so I'm just going to lay out exactly what happened. First, a little background. Longtime listeners of the show will know this to be true. I have what my wife calls an unhealthy obsession with food. I do. It's not healthy. You don't want to be like me. Food affects my mood a great deal. If I have a great meal, I will be in a good mood for hours. And if I have a bad one, it will drag me down for hours. It's ridiculous, ridiculous and childish. It's terrible. I know. I am obsessed with food. My father, rest in peace, I got it from him. He could tell you when he was alive, every town he's ever been in, he could tell you the restaurant he went to and what he ate, if it was good. He could, if you could ask my dad, hey, dad, when's the last time you went to Boise? Oh, I went to Boise and I went down to Tina's Diner Shop and you got to get the chicken fried steak. That's how he was. And so that's how I got it. And I inherited it honestly. It was was it last week? My wife and I decided to get out of the house, have a little date night. The World Series was on, and we went to a place where we could sit at the bar, and we sat at the bar like a couple teenagers. We were watching the game, just eating. We were having a good time, and dude beside me gets this pepperoni jalapeno flatbread that looked dynamite, and Aubrey looks over at me because she was in between me and him, and she said, please tell me you're not eyeballing his food. And I got, so that's how it is. Let's just stop eyeballing everyone's food. I'll talk to people about their food. So that's how I get about food. Now, today, Carol Roth, you know Carol Roth, she's coming on. I was recording a segment with her for my TV show. I have a TV show every night on the First TV. And how it works is I'm sitting there in the chair, I'm doing my monologue. And then when it's time to interview them, the producers and all these people dial them up. And there's a little monitor in front of me so I can see when she's been hooked in. But oftentimes I'm not looking at it. In fact, while they were dialing up Carol Roth, I was getting hungry. We were about done recording. I was going to order some food for me and Chris and Corey. And so I pull up my phone. I'm looking down, right? If you're looking at the simulcast, I'm looking down just like I am now. I'm looking down at my phone, so I'm not looking at the monitor while the producers are dialing up Carol Roth. And I'm looking, and I see this taco place. And I click on it. It's a new taco place. So I'm all, ooh, boom, and I click on it. And the first thing I see is this big, meaty, cheesy-looking burrito thing of some kind. And it had some kind of sauce/salsa pouring out of the top of it. I'm staring down at my phone. And remember, everyone can hear me. The producers can hear me. If the guest is wired in, they can hear me by now. I'm staring down at my phone and I said, oh, hello, beautiful. Carol Roth had been on the line for like 20 seconds by now, just waiting for me to say something to do a comms check. Now, by the grace of God, Carol, one, knows me. She's a personal friend. And two, she can see me on the monitor. She knew I was looking down at my phone talking to something whatsoever. And that's when the producer, it was Matt, my TV producer, Matt said, hey, Jesse, Carol's on the line. I hope she doesn't think you were talking to her. And I'm all, oh, hi, Carol. Sorry, it was the tacos. I swear it was the tacos. So, yeah, absolutely sexually harassed Carol Roth today by accident. And that might be a lawsuit. Chris, what? What? Chris, if you could have seen this, oh my gosh, this food looked really, really good. Really, what? What do you mean, why didn't we get that? Well, here's why. I was in a little bit of a hurry, and I knew you were going to be high maintenance about it in some way. And I knew we'd have Corey chiming in. Well, I can't have any onions in mine. And it was just going to, like, it was, you two were going to ruin it. You two were the reason we didn't get that. You two were the reason we didn't get nice things. I was getting ready to dive in. But because of both of you, that's the reason we didn't. So own it. If you're looking for who to blame, I've got a mirror right over there in my office. That's where you need to go find it. Now, before we get back into the Ask Dr. Jesse questions, or I should say into the Ask Dr. Jesse questions, because we actually haven't answered any of those yet. That's going to be my fault. Let's talk about your dog really quickly. Your dog dies too early. Our dogs here in America die before they should. They die because they never get nutrition. We give them dog food their whole lives, and then they die at 10 years old, and we look around wondering why. There's no nutrition in dog food. It's dead. They kill everything in it at the factory. They have to spray it down with lard to even get your dog to eat it. Otherwise, it's so dead, even dogs won't eat it. Start sprinkling Rough Greens on it, and your dog will live healthier and longer. Rough Greens is an all-natural nutritional supplement that has everything your dog needs. It doesn't matter how big your dog is. Oh, and it's for cats too. Well, I should say they have a cat version of it. They have a cat blend. They have a dog blend. They have dog chews, very healthy chews. A lot of those chewy things you buy your dog, they're full of a bunch of garbage you don't want your dog to have. Rough Greens, free jumpstart trial bags are available at 833-33-MY-DOG. Or you can go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. All right? Let's do some questions, shall we? Jesse, the little hands, Kelly. Not nice. As an oracle, have you ever laid awake at night and wondered what your life would have been like today if you had won a race and became a politician? Would you be the same dude you are today? Well, I have wondered. You know, you wonder which way it would go. But I will tell you, I'll tell you this. My faith leaves me without regrets when it comes to that stuff. The things I regret in life are the things that I have done wrong. And I've done many, many, many things wrong that I wish I could take back. Things I'm responsible for. Things that I did wrong. But I don't have regrets about horrible things I've gone through, or even bad things that have happened, or losing congressional races. Losing my father, right? I don't have this feeling of regret about it. I'm sad and I miss him a lot, but I trust that that's what God wanted. I lost the congressional race, and I wasn't supposed to win a congressional race, and I have no idea what I was maybe protected from. Maybe I would have gotten corrupted. I don't know. How do I know? I'm a flawed man. Maybe I would have got bribed. Maybe some little dime intern would have started batting her eyes at me. I'd have blown up my personal life. Maybe forget about me. Maybe I would have done something wrong to someone else. Maybe if I'd been elected, it would have denied someone else of something they needed for me at another time. Maybe it was about my sons. You know, it's tough being in Congress with young kids, and I love being there for my boys and everything they do. I really don't. I had wished I'd won at the time. Bad. I was running for the right reasons, and it hurt, but no, I don't question it. That's the way life goes. That's the way life goes, and that's the way it was supposed to go. All right. What can we actually expect over the next 4 years? What should we expect? What's not reasonable? What is? Let's talk about that next.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.